Almighty God, we call upon you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we ask that you would send upon us, as we trust you already have, your Spirit to overshadow us, to provide comfort and the beginnings of healings from wounds that have been caused here by the loss, the absence of Tom. And Lord, I pray that by your Spirit and the sweet balm of the gospel, that you would work in the lives and the hearts of all present here, just a movement of the gospel. You want nothing more than that. Tom would want nothing more than that. So we commend ourselves to your love and care this evening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. We are gathered here tonight to proclaim the good news of the victory of Jesus Christ over sin, death, and the grave in the context of the life and death of Tom Moser, a beloved child of God, a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. You didn't need to know Tom for long to know that the good news of Jesus was at the center of his life. So it will not be difficult tonight to preach the good news in the context of his life and death. As I've reflected upon my interactions with Tom and upon the stories and the memories that Kristen and Lee were so gracious to share with me, I can't help but think of that famous line from St. Irenaeus. The glory of God is a man fully alive. The glory of God is a man fully alive. And by the grace of God given to Tom through Jesus Christ, he was such a man. The grace and the glory of God was on full display in his life. Never perfectly, as I'm sure family can and friends will admit, but sufficiently. And you could see it in his love for life as a precious gift of God. And this instilled within him, by all accounts, a passion for whatever he did. Tom never did anything halfway. He never did anything halfway because all of life was worth living to the fullest for the glory of God. Whether it was taking yodeling lessons, which that I got a good chuckle out of that when I was told that. Or whether it was faithfully following University of Arizona athletics, running a youth musical theater, his work as an educator or a financial advisor, or his determination to catch at least one fish from the pond near his home here in Windsor in Pofftown. And Kristen told me that he would get lures sent from Amazon almost every day in his attempt to catch just one fish from that pond. He was passionate about life. He was determined in his attempt, even at small things like catching a single fish. He gave it 110%. But the beautiful part of that story is that one day Kristen mentioned to Tom, as he came back empty-handed, that maybe God would rather have him focus his time on fishing for men than the little brim probably in that, or bass in that pond. Which, if you knew Tom for even just a short while, you would know that he had a passion for making the love of Jesus known to others. He was a devoted fisher of men. And I dare say, a bit more successful by the grace of God. And Tom especially had a passion to make the love of Jesus known to young people. That was, I was looking through my notes from having conversations, Chris and Lee, and that's what came up more than anything else. By God's grace, this passion for young people was cultivated in his home growing up. Tom's mom and dad, devout followers of Jesus, loved children. They loved young people. And Tom not only experienced that love as a child, he saw it being freely given to other children as well. So when Tom grows up, what does he do? He sets out to love children and young people, to show them the love of Jesus. This passion to make Jesus known, his love known to young people, took Tom and Kristen as newlyweds to work with InterVarsity for several years in Canada. And evidently, if I remember right, that was he wasn't going to ask you to marry him if you weren't willing to go to Canada to serve in InterVarsity. It led him to a devoted 30-year career in education where Tom loved on young people with the love of Jesus. He gave 110% to see his students excel and for them to realize the potential that God had given each one of them. Throughout his career, Tom would write out verses of Scripture on post-it notes and place them on the desk of students who were struggling with something going on in their life or their family. He did that because he knew the answer. Because he had experienced the answer. He wanted to direct them to Jesus. He loved to show young people the love of Jesus. And that passion and determination to share the love of Jesus with his students went beyond the classroom as he coached youth sports, led a youth musical theater, taught life skill classes to disadvantaged youth, and did so many other things to show the love of Jesus to others. I was somewhat exhausted by reading how much he did. He was a larger-than-life man. But what I think is most impressive and what I'm most challenged by in Tom's example, his example of a Christian life, of being a Christian man, a Christian father and husband, is that he did all that without neglecting his family. Without neglecting his wife, Kristen, his son Lee, his daughter Christina. Tom was passionate as well about his family. He was a big family man. We don't have time to get into all. You can ask Kristen and Lee about how much of a big family man he was, but he was. He loved each of you so well. Kristen, he loved you. He loved you. As Christ loved the church. That was evident. Lee, he loved you, brother. I remember one Sunday, Tom got a hold of me after the service. It's kind of a scary thing once you've experienced that once or twice because he can have a lot of energy. Got a hold of me after the service as folks were filing out of the church, and I don't remember what I preached on, but he was fired up about something, particularly about reaching young people with the gospel. And he reflected upon the impact Young Life had in your journey with Christ, your relationship with Jesus. And I could see in him his love for you. He was tearing up, and I could see how proud he was of you. That you were a faithful follower of Jesus. And how grateful he was to God for his grace at work in you. Leslie, he loved you as a daughter. Eden, Sammy, Ambrose, Julian, he loved y'all so much because Jesus loved him. His love for you all, his passion to live life to the fullest for the glory of God, and his determination to share the love of Jesus with others, especially young people, are just some of the ways that the glory of God showed through his life. The glory of God is a man fully alive. And by the grace of God, that was Tom Moser. And here is the good news that we've heard from our guard lessons for Tom. This is the gospel for Tom tonight. Death has not brought his life to an end. We mourn and grieve his absence, but thanks be to God, he is still very much alive in Christ. His life has changed, to be sure, but it has not ended. That's the hope of the gospel. God will not and does not permit death to have the final word in Tom's life. Tonight, we celebrate that reality, that truth. And God does not allow death to extinguish the glory of God shining through his life. In fact, the opposite is true. As we heard there in our lesson from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church, there in chapter 4, verse 17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. God's glory was on display in Tom's life here, but that fails in comparison to the glory that he has received from God when he welcomed him into his throne room. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I am delighted with you. I love you, son. Enter now into the eternal joys of your Father. How much more alive then is Tom right now? He's not less alive, but he's more fully alive than he has ever been. He's able now to reflect and bear more of God's glory than he was ever capable of on this earth. That's what Paul's getting at there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. There, Paul uses the language of clothing to communicate this reality, this truth. He says, "For while we are still in this tent," he's referring to our bodies, "we groan being burdened." Not that we would be unclothed, not that we would be disembodied, not that we wouldn't have bodies, but that we would be more fully clothed. That's the reality that Tom is beginning to experience now, as even he, along with all the saints who have gone before, sitting around the throne of God, worshiping, waiting for that day when Jesus Christ returns for the resurrection of the dead, when he will be more fully clothed, more fleshly than he ever was before. And all of this is possible not because of Tom, not because of his achievements, though he had many, or his passion and determination, though he possessed much. All of this is made possible only because of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. We can't do enough to earn our way into that throne room. Only through Jesus. Because only Jesus took on human flesh. Only Jesus lived a sinless and righteous life and died on the cross in Tom's place. And I know Tom would chastise me if I didn't say this, in your place as well. In my place. Bearing all of our sin. And only because Tom's only there because God raised Jesus from the dead. It is only possible because of Jesus Christ, who is, as we heard in our gospel lesson, the resurrection and the life. You see, this service completes Tom's baptism. For through the waters of baptism, we are united to Jesus' death and resurrection. We are brought into union with the one who is the resurrection, with the one who is life itself. So that what is true of Jesus is true of Tom even now. And that can be said for anyone here who's gone through those waters of baptism, through faith and repentance. What is true of Jesus is true of you. So right now, Tom bears an eternal weight of glory that surpasses by far the glory that was refracted imperfectly, though beautifully, in him here on earth. Glory that is only possible for him because of Jesus, because it is Jesus' glory that he shares in. Kristen, Lee, Leslie, rest of the family and friends who have gathered here tonight, I know you mourn. I know you grieve, as Martha grieved the loss of her brother Lazarus. But praise be to God, you do not grieve as those without hope. Amen. You do not grieve as those without God's comfort. Because you know and believe, as Martha came to know and believe, that Jesus is indeed who he said he was. He is the resurrection and the life. And since you know that Tom was connected to Jesus, since he was united to him, you know that Tom's mortal life is, as Paul said there in those beautiful lines, swallowed up by life. His life is swallowed up by Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Jesus has the final word over Tom's life, not death, not sin, not the grave. Jesus. And he says, "Tom is mine. Tom is mine." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.